From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, January 16th, 2025.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Ice hockey is one of the most physically demanding team sports, and one of the most violent as well. While that violence is considered part of hockey's very identity, it can become a deterrent for players who have aged out of college and professional leagues but still love the game. One league in Portland is trying to maintain a degree of traditional hockey culture without all the pushing and shoving. Maddie Smith stopped by a recent scrimmage.
When I arrive at the William B. Trobe Ice Arena in Portland at 6:30 in the morning, it's still dark out, but the skate sharpener is already at work. It's about 10 minutes before puck drop for the American Portland Wednesday Hockey Association of America. League founder Scott Rousseau says the long name, with two references to America, is intentional.
Everything is tongue-in-cheek. Like, yes, we're a league, and we have jerseys, and we make teams, but you're constantly fighting about the score. We're constantly ribbing each other. We're constantly taking it serious in a way that's not serious at all, because it's fun.
We're down 4-2. What is going on out there?
We're getting overrun back in the defensive zone, and Mikey sucks.
The players are divided into two sides, one sporting cream color jerseys, the other in blue, each with nicknames stitched on the back. There's Bozo, Snoop, and the Judge.
Bozo is my brother because he's an absolute clown. Chris Ledwick is the Judge. Because he's a lawyer. You know, Benny Frazier is savoir-faire because he has so much style and grace when he plays.
Rousseau created the league more than 20 years ago after he tired of playing in adult pickup games that started too late at night. And he says the players were often overly aggressive. To keep the level of play high, Rousseau invited only skilled players to join. Most have collegiate experience, and a few have seen action in the American or even National Hockey League. The higher skill levels mean players have more control of the puck and are less likely to do accidental damage.
You know, we're not going to take a slap shot when our friends are in front of us. We're not going to shoot high and threaten to hit our goalie friend in the head. You know, we're going to be cautious of each other. What was that? It's not even playoffs!
At 7:50, the game ends. Everyone shuffles off the ice, debating who won. With no official referee, no score is recorded. And everyone I ask gives a different answer.
So nobody knows?
If we're losing, I'd go stay on that bench.
You say it loudly and convincingly.
Just remember the two things you did well on that.
As they make their way to the locker room, I ask the players why they feel the draw to get up so early and exhaust themselves before having to spend a full day at their jobs.
I haven't worked a day in my life.
Mark Kumpel, now in his early 60s, played for the 1984 Olympic team and went on to play nearly 300 games in the National Hockey League. He says the game is part of who he is.
It's just what I do with my time and, you know, come out here, put a smile on my face, have a few yucks, and try not to get hurt.
For league founder Scott Rousseau, hockey is like a trip back to an earlier time. He grew up in a French-Canadian family in Lewiston, playing hockey with his three brothers and watching the game on Canadian TV with play-by-play in French.
Hockey in French is way better than hockey in English. It's much more romantic. In hockey in English, it's 2 minutes for roughing, but in French, c'est 10 minutes pour redresse. It's a nice glove save. And en français, c'est un bel arrêt avec le grand mitaine, the big mitten.
Bobby, that way!
We're all 12 years old for 2 hours a week, and you fight about if it was offsides, and you fight about the score, and you just get to be a little kid again and do the thing that we all love to do the most.
By 8:15, the guys have shed their skates, jerseys, and their nicknames, and head off to work. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Maddie Smith.
Maine Housing has awarded $2 million in state funding to prevent student homelessness in 5 school systems. Maine Housing's Scott Thistle says the funds can be used to hire homelessness prevention specialists or provide direct financial assistance to families. Thistle says 11 applications were submitted, but the agency selected 5 based on demand for this type of housing assistance.
We felt like equity was important in that the funding was distributed through throughout Maine, so that would impact students in both rural and city school districts.
Thistle says the funding could help as many as 1,700 students and families in rural Aroostook County, Bath, Biddeford, Lewiston, and Portland. Scientists spotted more than 75 North Atlantic right whales earlier this week near Jeffrey's Ledge off the southern Maine and New Hampshire coasts. Researcher Orla O'Brien, who leads aerial surveys for the New England Aquarium, says it's a bit unusual to see so many off the Maine coast, especially at this time of year. But O'Brien notes that large aggregations have been spotted in several unexpected places over the last 12 months.
What we have been seeing is that things are dynamic and the whales will pop up basically wherever there's food, and we need to figure out a way to be able to be better prepared for that.
Federal officials yesterday issued a warning to boaters, urging them to reduce their speeds to avoid entangling or colliding with the whales as they feed. The voluntary warning came on the same day that the Biden administration announced it will drop an effort to require seasonal speed limits in specific circumstances. State officials say they will likely have to discontinue a transitional housing program for asylum seekers by the end of the year, citing budget constraints and fewer new arrivals. Since 2022, Maine Housing has leased a hotel in Saco as a resettlement hub for asylum seekers, providing shelter for over 700 people during that time. The agency has a contract with Catholic Charities Maine to run daily operations there, which include job training programs, English classes, and help finding permanent housing. But with fewer asylum seekers arriving in Maine and the state facing a tight budget picture, the Governor's Office of Policy, Innovation, and the Future says the $6 million annual cost of the program is no longer warranted. The current lease on the hotel runs through September 30th. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development has awarded more than $22 million to 12 organizations and state agencies in Maine to provide housing assistance for unhoused residents. The state, the city of Bangor, Preble Street, the Maine Coalition to End Domestic Violence, and the Maine State Housing Authority received the majority of the funding to assist unhoused individuals and families and those escaping domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking. Senator Susan Collins recently secured more than $4 billion in federal funding to focus on solutions to homelessness nationwide. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, Congressman Jared Golden. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.